Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. All the regular Friday features are coming up. We got Vic's Picks, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. We're also going to talk about some of the movie trends that we're probably going to see in 2020. But right now, we would like to welcome one of our favorite guests, our good friend, to the show. He's a consumer reporter and a watchdog for NBC News and KOMO. ConsumerMan.com is his website, and it's Herb Weisbaum, who is here to talk about consumer issues and stories in the news and to answer any and all of your questions or concerns. If you have any questions about the consumer-related issues, this is what Herb does once a month on our show. We welcome Herb back. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, Nick. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. How were your holidays?
Very nice. Just calm. Did a lot of family and friends and went out to go see a movie. I'm probably sure you didn't like it, but we'll find out the Knives Open or whatever that was called.
Knives Out.
Knives Out, yeah. Did
I
you like that
it.
One?
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it. It was like an old-time Agatha Christie movie or something.
And it was very funny and an incredible cast. And one of my favorite women on the planet is in that movie. I've always loved Jamie Lee Curtis. And
Yeah.
Ever since I saw Halloween, I was 13 when I saw Halloween, and I completely fell in love with her. And she's great in the movie.
Oh yeah, she's great. And I never saw, you know, you don't see the ending coming from a mile away. So that's it was just great. We had a really really
it's
good time.
It's a terrific movie, and it's actually doing like Bond. It's doing boffo box office.
And next after this, I'm going to help Star Wars because they need all the help they can get. So I'm going to go see that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, welcome back. Tell everybody about your website and yourself and all that stuff by way of intro.
Sure. I cover the consumer beat for NBC News Digital. So that's NBCNews.com in the better section. I also work for KOMO Radio in Seattle, the all news station out here. And I've been doing this for a very, very long time. And my goal is to warn you about ripoffs and scams, help you be smarter with your money, and just basically have a better life and be a smart consumer. I have a website, consumerman.com, where I publish all the stories I do for NBC and also a weekly newsletter, totally free, and I just send out the stories I do so you can be aware of what's going on in the consumer world and help protect yourself.
And so you should subscribe to the newsletter because it's really great. And so you subscribe at consumerman.com. Just click onto it, subscribe, and you'll get that newsletter, and it's free.
And you'll get a segment of the podcast of the Nick D Show every month when I'm on.
There you go. All right. Sounds good. All right, Herb, let's get cracking. Now, this is always an interesting time to talk about money. Right after the holidays, correct? It's one of the more crazier times, and everybody, you know, like in the next few weeks, people are going to start getting the bills from all the money that they spent, put on their credit cards, and it's always kind of a weird and kind of intense time, you know, January, February of each year. And has that lessened at all, or does it still happen?
Oh, I think it happens every single year. And you saw the gangbuster numbers that the retailers did this year. So people felt that the economy was strong, maybe got a little careless, didn't follow their budget. So I think it's going to be a serious problem, as always, with people just overdoing it and getting hit, surprised by these big credit card bills.
Yeah, you got to be smart about it. I learned my lesson years and years ago. As you know, Herb, I got into some deep financial debt, and most of it had to do with credit cards, and I was a knucklehead with my money until I learned my lesson from that. And it's a very stressful situation, too. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Like, you know, when you are in a lot of debt, it's not fun, man, and it takes a toll on your life.
Well, I just wrote a story that I'm breaking on your show because it's going to get published tomorrow on the top two financial New Year's resolutions. And one of them is to pay down debt every year. And the other one is to save more money. And the question that was asked of 3,000 adults across the country by Fidelity Investments was, if given the choice, would you rather lose 5 pounds or save $5,000? And what do you think the answer was?
5 pounds.
$5,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
84% of the people said saving money was much higher priority than losing some weight, which is good.
Yeah.
And people want to pay down their debt as well. So what I looked at in this article was the strategies to accomplish those goals. So let's start with the one you were talking about paying down the credit card debt, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, see, I do want to mention that this article is, you haven't even posted this yet. This is an exclusive one on our show.
Yeah, it's going to go up later today on NBCNews.com, but I figured this is one timely. It's like New Year's. We've got to talk about it now.
Absolutely. So. Yes. Okay, so go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I think as you learn, credit card debt is the most expensive debt. It's more expensive than borrowing to go to college. It's more expensive than to buy a car. It's more expensive even to purchase a house. It is the most expensive debt you can possibly have. The average credit card interest right now nationwide is 17.3%, according to creditcards.com.
Man.
But that's the average. If you have poor credit, or if you carry a balance on your card and are not paying it on a retail credit card, or you got into a default situation where you were late on a couple of bills, you could clearly be paying close to 25%. Some cards go up to almost 30% now.
Man.
So this is a huge financial burden that keeps getting worse and worse and worse and snowballing. So what do you need to do? You need to pay it down. There are two typical methods. I don't know which you use. There's the avalanche method and the snowball method. Do you know which one you use, or should I explain what they are first?
Let me just say this. it got so bad, Herb, my wages got garnished. That's how bad it got. So that was the route I took.
Approaches to not get there, and then, well, if you're in the real bad situation, I have some advice as well. So with the avalanche method, you prioritize all the credit card debt you have from highest to lowest, and then you focus on the highest rate, and you take all the extra money you have and pay that off first and try to get that debt. And the logic is that as soon as you pay that card off, then you work for the next one and the next one, because you're saving more money this way, because obviously the one with the biggest debt is the one that's probably costing you the most money.
Yeah.
The snowball method is for people, and this works as well, for people who just need a little psychological boost. So with this, you prioritize the size of the balance and start with the smallest one. And what you do is you pay that, you see results more quickly, and then you're encouraged to go on. So the avalanche method, it's the highest interest rate, so you're paying the biggest balance off first. It may not biggest rate first. It might not be the biggest balance, but it's the biggest interest rate
that's
costing you. With the snowball method, the smallest balance, so you see some results, then you move on to the next one. No matter which one you choose, you got to make more than the minimum payments on that balance you're focused on eliminating, because otherwise you are just going to be spinning your wheels. And I got a number from the folks at creditcards.com, and this is going to blow your mind. If you have $5,700 worth of credit card debt, which is a little lower right now than most Americans have, the figure from the Federal Reserve about a year ago, but so just say $5,700 worth of credit card debt, and you're paying that 17% interest we just talked about, and only make the minimum payment each month, it will take you, we should have a drum roll for this, it will take you 20 years to pay off the balance.
Oh, my.
20 years. And the interest you will pay will total $7,000. So you will pay more in interest than the initial amount you owed in the first. So you'll pay $5,700 plus $7,000 worth of interest. That's $12,700 on that $5,700 you carried the balance on.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and people need to see those numbers and realize it. So there are a couple of options we talked about in the article. First of all, if you have a good credit score, and I'm talking about a FICO score of maybe 690 or higher, which is a fair amount of Americans will fit into that category, you can transfer your balance, one of these balances, to what's called a 0% balance transfer card. So what it is these cards will not charge you interest for, it depends on the card, 12 months, 16 months, 18 months. Some of them go a little bit longer. So you basically have stopped the interest clock from ticking on this big debt you have. And there is a fee that's usually charged 2 or 3%, but there are some cards which will be listed in this article, which will go up on the website, my website, probably tomorrow, consumerman.com, where it's a list of balance transfer cards where there's no fee whatsoever. So you can transfer your balance, put it on a 0% card, stop the interest clock from ticking, and there's no fee whatsoever to do this. They're hoping that you won't get the debt paid off in time and that you'll go to the traditional interest rate on that card and then stay with the card. So what you do if you do this, Nick, is you've got to say, okay, I got $10,000 in debt and I got 12 months to pay it off. Divide the $10,000 by 12, and I got to pay that amount every month so I get it done by the end of the time. A lot of people don't get it done by the end of the time. You got to get yourself done so you take advantage of the 0% interest. So that's one way to do it. And then the other way to do it, if you're in really, really serious trouble and you just don't know where to turn, find yourself a nonprofit credit counselor in your area. They will work with you. They will set up a plan with you. They will negotiate with your creditors. Don't spend money on these people that, we'll solve all your debt overnight and erase everything. Doesn't work that way. You wind up paying them a lot of money, and you probably don't get any satisfaction. You want a nonprofit credit counselor. They will help you find what to do. The initial consultation is usually free. They'll go over your budget and your money, and then they'll work a plan. It's usually based on what you can afford. It may be no payment. It might be something simple like $15 a month. I have actually talked to people who have been $80,000 in credit card debt, and 4 years later, not only were they completely out of debt, but they were putting a down payment on a house. So it can be done. These people know what they're doing. They're there to work for you because they're nonprofit. And there's a list of where to find these agencies in the story as well, if you go to the story, which will be up on ConsumerMan.com hopefully by sometime tomorrow. Okay. So that's the way to go. Don't send a lot of money. Somebody's going to help you solve all your problems overnight. Go with a nonprofit who's working for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's great advice. And the piece that we're talking about here will be up in a matter of hours on Herb's website. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, always helps us out, always learns something from him every single time he's on. He's on once a month. He's your consumer man. Check out ConsumerMan.com, subscribe to his newsletter, and he's here right now. If you have concerns or questions or issues, 312-981-7200, talk or text, 312-981-TALK or text, and we'll have more with Herb after this.
Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are here, we're talking with Herb Weisbaum. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up starting at 2:30 with Vic's Picks. And we'll go through You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly James Friday. All coming up here on 720 WGN. If you want to get through to us, the phone lines and text lines are open right now. If you have any questions about consumer issues or needs or anything like that, 312-981-7200. And let's get Herb back on. Herb, welcome back. Are you there, Herb? Did we lose Herb? Think we lost Herb. Tom? Think we lost Herb. Let's try to get Herb back on. Get another line here with Herb. So, all right. You can, like I said, we've said before, you can subscribe to his newsletter. It's free. And you can check it out at consumerman.com. And the phone lines are open. We're going to get Herb back in here and back on the air, and he'll answer your questions. And in the meantime, 312-981-7200. Let's see if we got Herb back on the line. Herb, are you there?
I did not go anywhere. It must have been operator error.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're here. You're here now. So that's all that matters.
Okay.
I just couldn't hear you. That's all.
Yeah, so. But I heard money, 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 and
oh,
it was
you
time
did.
To talk.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got some people who are calling in. We're going to have some texts coming in, too, and I know you like to help people out with the consumer issues. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Can you help somebody out here?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Herb, I got roughly 8 to 9 years left to pay on my house. I have no other outstanding debt. Am I better off investing money into the market or putting more money down on the house to get that paid off quicker?
Well, what interest rate are you paying on your loan?
3.68.
Okay, that's pretty low at this point in time. But I paid off my house early because I just wanted the peace of mind that I had a roof over my head no matter what. And, you know, in the broadcasting business, as Nick will attest to, there are layoffs all the time to come out of the blue.
Yeah,
and it actually happened to me when my station was sold. It wasn't my fault, and it was nice to know that I had the roof over my head. You obviously, if you are not taking any kind of deduction on that now, you're going to make a lot more money. You know, I wouldn't go crazy in the market. You know, the market's going to adjust some point in time, and if you're only 7 years from retirement, you know, you want to make sure you have enough that you can deal with it. You know, but if it's money you're not going to touch for a long time, you know, you can continue to. I'm not a financial analyst; I'm a consumer guy. But the logic would say that if you're only paying 3% on that loan, and you can get more on your money that's not too risky, and it's money that you're not going to need for a while, then you know you might be better off just doing it that way and just continuing to pay off the house. If you don't think there's any chance, there could be a situation where you'd lose your job or work or whatever. Then you know we can't see everything that would force you to not be able to make the good payments on your house.
Yeah, I mean I don't have that crystal ball either, so I don't know. But my job should be pretty secure. And again, I feel the same way you do. If I could get out from that debt of the house, I'm pretty much living free.
Yeah. I mean, that's an individual individual choice. And to me, that was really, really important. When that monkey was off my back and I burned that mortgage, I felt great.
Yeah.
And people at work said, wow, you're a genius, you know. And you do save some money. I mean, I saved a fair amount of money by paying it off early. Do you have an emergency savings fund set up, which is, you know, do you have enough money to live for 3 to 6 months if for some reason you lost your job or something happened?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Now you're ahead of over 60% of the American public, because that's the first thing you would do with that money before trying to invest it. You'd make sure you have that savings account if you know, a rainy day fund that you don't touch if something happened to you. So I guess it's for you, it's a comfort level, which you feel more comfortable doing. If you feel like you just want to have that puppy taken care of and not have to worry about it, or, you know, put the money in and make it work a little harder for you. I don't think there's a wrong decision for you.
Okay. All right, Tom.
Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Herb is here, and we have a text that has come in from the 815 area code. My wife and I are both senior citizens. I'm 67. My wife is 69. We have numerous credit cards, but I went to collection they keep getting bought up by new collection agencies each year, and it's very confusing and very hard to keep track of who these people are, and the money does not go to the original cardholder. We're afraid to sign up with these people and send money to them. Are we right or wrong?
Well, the problem is you have to make this presumes that the debt is legitimate, that it was legitimately set to collection. You and I have talked about before about all the debt collector scams that are out there. So you have to make sure it's legitimate, and they are by law required to present you with the documentation to show that that indeed you owe the debt. And you know that's going to kill your credit score forever if you're in collection and that kind of thing. And they do pull a number of tricks like suing people, which they'll do eventually, and they'll take it to court, and then they won't give you notice that it's going to be in the court rule in their favor and et cetera. So I always say it's better to settle something like this. If you're not sure and you need some help, I'd make the same suggestion I made early in the show. Contact one of the nonprofit credit counseling agencies in your area. They could probably help you sort through this and figure out what to do, and the cost would not be very great. It's a real simple email URL, web address, remember, nfcc.org, nfcc.org. If you go to that website, they have a phone number. You can talk to somebody there over the phone. You can find a local nonprofit counselor in your area and find out from them if there's something you can do, because you don't want to get stuck in a situation where you're paying money good after bad and it's not going to where you really want it to go. And that is a nightmare that some people experience.
Yeah. God, there are so many scams out there, Herb. Really, it's just insane.
You know, there's one I learned about. We'll talk about it before the hour's over, based on your call, Doc, from Doc who called us last time.
Oh, Doc, sure, yeah. What he called about title theft, right?
Yeah, and I knew nothing about it, and I made a whole bunch of calls. I spent about an hour of research time for you on this one, Nick. And I found out that some people were like, yeah, and some people were like, no, I hadn't heard about it. And then I learned out about more, and then I shared it with them.
Well, so remind everybody what the phone call from Doc was about.
Doc called about an ad he heard about a title lock company. So this is like a protection to guard your title from title theft. And his question was, and I know Doc's listening because he drives at night, he listens to your show, he tells me every night. So,
yep.
Hi,
yep.
Doc, how you doing? So the question was, is this a smart thing to do? Should I get this coverage? So first of all, the company that he heard the ad for is a legitimate company, has an A rating from the Better Business Bureau. The service charges something like $15 a month to protect your title. We'll get into whether that makes any sense or not in a minute. But the scam here is what I had to find out about first of all. So what these ID thieves are able to do is, you know, so much stuff is online and so much stuff can be done online that they are able, with their tricks, to get in and forge the owner's signature and the notaries and everything and basically take over the deed to your house,
wow,
the title to your house. And then what they do is one of two things. They either sell the house and all of a sudden you find somebody moving into your house and you really don't own the house anymore and you're in that you can imagine the nightmare that is, or they keep taking loans out on your house and then you get default notices that you find out you defaulted on these loans that you never took out, and then the bank defaults on the house and then they kick you out of your house. So it's a tragic situation in either way it winds up being. It's not huge at this point in time, but it's certainly picking up steam, and any good scam that's making the bad guys money is going to spread like wildfire. It's big right now in the poorer areas of low-income areas of Philly. It's big right now in some parts of Detroit. I know it's big in some parts of Florida where people don't spend a lot of time in their homes. They maybe come down for the sunny weather and then go back, rent their houses out. the question is, how do you protect yourself about this scam? And again, not a lot of people know a whole lot about it. But what I was able to find out, some suggestions are, first of all, look for warning signs. If all of a sudden you're not getting your tax bill, if you're not getting your utility bills, things that you should be getting, that could be a warning sign that somebody took over your title, because why aren't you getting those bills anymore?
Right.
The other way to check is something we should all be doing anyway, which is to check your credit file, your credit report, which you're supposed to do every year to see if anything is weird in there. And, of course, if anybody played around with your title or took out a loan in your name, that would be in your credit report. So the way I suggest doing it now is there's three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. By law, you can get one free report every 12 months. So get the first one started if you want to, you know, alphabetically. Get the Equifax one, and then wait 3 months, and then get the Experian one. Then wait 4 months and get the Experian one, and then wait 4 months and get the next one from TransUnion. So you're basically checking, they are different a little bit, but you're basically checking your credit file every 4 months. So you have a running look at what's going on, and that's one of the best ways to spot if something is going on. A number of county offices around the country that record deeds, the recorder's offices, they are starting now, because of this, to put fraud alerts, allow people to sign up for fraud alerts if something happens with their title. Again, this is just starting because this is a relatively new scam, but I know that certain places in the country are now doing this, so you can actually, if you feel like it, you could call your recorder in your community and say, in the county or city where you are, and say, hi, can I put a fraud alert on my title and see if they offer such a service. There's going to be a big meeting of all the people that run these title offices, recorder's offices, in March, and they tell me that's going to be one of the big topics they talk about, how we can help people avoid this scam. So it's coming down the line. If you want to pay for a service to do it and pay the $15 a month and it makes you feel better, that's a decision you have to make. You know, there's also a thought I have in mind that, you can't pay to protect yourself against everything in the world, but this is a pretty big one. I think if you look for the warning signs, I think if you check your credit report every 4 months, as I suggested, that's a step in the right direction. But some people may just feel, especially if you find out by, like, maybe Googling the story and find out it's rampant in your area, that a lot of it's going on, you might think about doing something like that in the interim until we find out a better way to do it, or the recorder's offices put this fraud alert system in place. I was so taken by this that, thanks to Doc and thanks to your show, I am actually going to start looking into this and do a full-fledged investigative report in a couple of months for NBC News, and I'll have a lot more for you on it. But I wanted to at least get the word out, because there is something going on and people need to be aware of it and take the proper steps.
All right. And thanks to Doc for bringing this up.
Thank you, Doc. You're a good man.
Okay. Herb, hang out, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. And if you have any comments or questions or concerns about consumer-related issues, it's 312-981-7200. We'll jump back into the conversation with Herb after this. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Starting in about an hour, we'll kick it off with Vic's Picks, where he tells us about the albums that he's listening to. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up on this Friday morning. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, we're visiting with our good friend Herb Weisbaum, who is a consumer reporter. He's a watchdog for NBC News and KOMO Radio, and his website is consumerman.com. And again, he's got a newsletter that's free. You can subscribe to it, and I suggest you do that. He's here to help out with any consumer issues and needs. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Herb, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick. And if people do sign up for it tonight, as soon as that story that we were talking about earlier on how to pay down credit card debt and all the links comes out, you'll get it in my newsletter right away.
There you go. So another reason to subscribe. So there you go. You wrote a piece about passwords. We've talked about this all the time, Herb. Who did the company that researched the worst passwords of and these are actual passwords.
This is by a company called Splash Data. They're a company that sells those password managers, so they come out with this every year to show people how silly we're being. And they came up with this list based on analyzing more than 5 million leaked passwords out on the dark web to see what the criminals are using to start, when they start to search to try to break into accounts, they use the ones that everybody's using, the weak ones first, and then their algorithms go out and start to do more complicated ones. So that's what these are. And these are being used by a lot of people.
It's. I'm looking at the article right here, and I can't believe that people actually think that it's okay to use these kind of passwords.
You want to go 1 to 10 or Letterman style 10 to 1?
Let's go Letterman style. We'll go start with 10.
All right, so number 10 was 123, 123. Number 9 was 111, 111. Number 8 was I love you. That's been around for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Number 7 was a really clever one, 12345. Then 12345678. Then 12345678. Password was number 4. It actually dropped from number 2 in 2018.
So people using the word password as their password.
Yep. Yep. QWERTY, which is the top left of the keyboard. And then 12345678. I don't know why people think if you make a longer bad password, it's more secure. It's really not. And then the top one is just 123456, the exact same one from last year. Just absolutely unbelievable. And a few of the other ones that were on the top 25 list include admin, welcome, 654321. That's right. Counting backwards will really fool a crook.
Yeah.
And 555555. Again, all of those are really lousy passwords. And I know the problem. I mean, I feel your pain. The average American has something like 150 accounts. They all require passwords. I have more than 250 accounts. They all require passwords. So what do? We take the easy way out. We generate one really bad password that we know we can memorize and remember and then use it all across the board. And that's two problems. One, it's a bad password, and we'll get in a minute about why it's bad to use it across all the platforms, because that starts the domino effect if they crack your code. But I actually, for this article, talked to a guy I know fairly well over the last year. His name is Brett Johnson. Brett was known as the godfather of internet crime, and he basically, with his colleagues way back when, started the dark net. I mean, Brett was a big-time ID thief who actually spent like 5.5 years, 6 years behind prison. And he came out and decided he was going to change his life and he was going to do good for the world and help work with authorities. And he consults with the FBI and Microsoft and tries to teach the good guys what the bad guys are doing. And he said to me, you know, you think about a hacker, and we all get this vision in our mind, you know, the 400-pound guy sitting in his pajamas eating Cheetos doing this at the kitchen table, right?
Right.
Doesn't work that way anymore. These guys are professionals. They're using algorithms that can literally check millions of passwords a minute. Millions. And the algorithms aren't fooled by replacing an O with a zero or an E with an ampersand or an asterisk at the end instead of a one or any, you know, these tricks that we always do.
Yeah, yeah.
The algorithms don't get fooled by that kind of stuff. They don't fall for human tricks. They just run the series of calculations and can literally break into your password. And I actually looked at one of these passwords that we talked about before, 987654321.
Mm-hmm.
It's been exposed more than 500,000 times on the internet. So this is the one that the con artists know people are using. You know how long it would take a crook to crack that using one of these algorithms?
No.
0.01 seconds.
Oh, man.
I mean, less than a second, you know, and that's what we're creating for these passwords. So the criminals are taking advantage of this, and then here's what's happened. So with that domino or cascading effect that I talked about. So they crack into a site we use that maybe is easier to crack. And I'm not pointing fingers, but it might be like a Hulu or a Netflix or maybe one of your social media accounts or maybe the PTA or maybe Open Table or something like that, where it's not a financial credit card, you know, where the real serious high security protocols are in place, or they send you a phishing email and they get you to give them your password. So they get the password for that account and then they start using it on all your other accounts. So you, if you use it across the board, have now given them the password to your bank account, your credit card account, you know, maybe your mortgage account, maybe whatever else you have. And that's a very, very serious problem, and it happens all the time. So the key is, I in this article, which again is on my website, I gave 4 tips that I got from talking to all these various experts in cyber thieves and cyber protecting people. And do we have time to run them down?
Yeah.
So I asked them about the rules for strong passwords, and the rules change all the time. Some people say 12 words or numbers or characters. Some people say 20. Some people say use a series of random words. They all agree that you shouldn't use common phrases. No song or movie titles, no sports teams, not your birthday, not your dog's name, not your favorite sports team, etc. But to be honest with you, the algorithms are so good now that you need to have something as powerful to create the password for you. And you need a password generator. And you can get these password generators with password apps such as Dashlane or LastPass or 1Pass, and they will create them for you as part of this password manager. And some of these are free, which I'll talk about in a minute because that's another tip, so you don't even have to pay for them. But that you need a computer to generate that code for you, and the computer will also remember them for you. We'll get to that in a minute. And then you have to have the unique password for all the really, really important accounts. So your anything that you think is critical, your financial account, your credit card account, your bank account, your social media account, whatever it is, they have got to have a really strong, one of these strong passwords that is unique. You don't use it anyplace else. And do you know, by the way, I talked to the people at Sophos, they're a big digital security company, and I asked them, of all those accounts I just mentioned to you, Nick, what is the number one account you need to guard? Of all those kind of sensitive accounts you have, what is the number one account you think you have to guard?
I would guess your bank account.
That's what most people would say. You know what it is? And it surprised me. Your email account. And here's what do we use when we hit reset password? It goes to our email account.
So yeah.
It can your email account, and they can try to get into your get most of the parts of your other accounts, and they hit reset password. The password comes to that email account that they've now hacked.
Oh man!
So that's your number one account to protect, along with all the other ones. But I never thought about that until he explained it to me. But doesn't that make a lot of sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So number three is consider using a password manager. So that is these programs that you download it onto your desktop, and it creates for you and saves all these really strong passwords. So you could have a really strong, unique password for your 150, 250 accounts. You just click it on, and it loads the account for you, the password, whenever you go to whatever account. There's one password you have to remember for the password manager. So you have to make a really long, strong one for the password manager, but that's the only one you ever have to remember. You don't give it out, share it, anybody. Make sure it's somewhere in case you pass away that somebody, you know, like your person who's going to do your will or your lawyer, knows what it is in case people have to get into all your accounts.
Right.
But do it that way, and that's the way to do it. The other way to do it, my friend from Sophos said, my parents are really old. They're not in digital. They wrote some of their passwords down on a piece of paper. They keep it in a tablet hidden in a desk drawer. You know what? The odds of somebody breaking into their house, finding that tablet, and knowing what those are for, as opposed to password or 123123, that's actually a better way to go.
That's what my parents do. That's my parents have their password in my dad's filing cabinet next to the computer.
Yeah, you know. And then the other thing is a lot of operating systems, the Android system and Apple systems now have password managers built in. So they'll remember them for you once you log into a website. So that's great, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And if you want to get a password manager with this article on consumerman.com, there are links to the 24 best passwords as rated by PC Magazine password managers. Step number four, and this is the number one most critical one that I got from all the experts. We have got to step up our game because cyber crooks have stepped up their game. And what does that mean? It means we've got to have two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication, which is an extra level of security to open an account for our most sensitive accounts, the bank account, the credit card account, the social media account, whatever account you have that will allow you to set up that. So what it means is that besides having a password, which the bad guys may be able to steal, you've either got to do something biometric, you've got to put your thumbprint on the phone, you've got to take a face scan on your phone,
right.
Something like, or you've got to do something else, such as you have a token at your house and it generates a code, or you are sent a code on your cell phone or email or something like that, and you've got to put the code in. You know, it's not foolproof. Obviously, the bad guys could hack your other accounts, but I talked to the folks at Microsoft, and they said that if you put multi-factor authentication on your account, their statistics show it correlates with a 99% reduction in the rate of compromise. And that's what I've been busy doing the last couple of weeks with all of my really critical accounts, is setting up the multi-factor authentication or the two-factor authentication. Yes, it slows you down. You have to take 20 seconds to have the code come to your cell phone, and then you put the code in the thing it says, or some cases like Google, it says just press yes that you got this because it's to your cell phone, and they know you got it.
Right.
You know what? The horrors of having a bank account hacked and what you'd have to deal with for the hours or the days if somebody impersonated you and started doing terrible things, trust me. 20 seconds here, 20 seconds there is a small price to pay for not having to deal with all the heartache on the back end.
Yeah, wow. I have the thumbprint thing on my phone. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is very cool, and it works really, really well. And, you know, again, the odds are if you have your phone locked, and even you lose your phone, you know, there should be no problem of somebody using that against you. And the people always ask me when I talk about this in speeches, they go, well, what about, you know, the security risk of having all of your passwords stored on the server in the sky, the cloud, you know, from one of these companies? And the answer is as follows, is that none of them have been hacked to a point where there's been a problem. There's been no breach at this point in time. I mean, anything can happen in life. But even if they were hacked, the information is encrypted. So all the hackers would get is encrypted data. And you are the only one on the planet Earth who has the key to open that encryption. Even the password manager people don't have it.
Mm.
So that's why I said you better put it aside and keep it in a safe place and make a copy and stick it under your bed or something. That's because without that, you're never going to open the account again. I mean, it's simple as that. They will not open. So you better, but that's, you know, it's a trade-off in life, but that's one of the ways that, you know, it's pretty, and I asked one of the cyber researchers who's at Carnegie Mellon, and she's like one of the top cyber people in the world. She says, you know what? I have to do a trade-off of risk-benefit in life. I have so many passwords, and I travel. You know, you don't want to take that tablet along with you. With a password manager, it's on your laptop, it's on your desktop, it's on your cell phone, it's on your tablet, you know, whatever. She said, I just have to use that, and I feel of the risk-benefit, it makes more sense to use the password manager.
Yeah. Okay, great advice. Herb, hang on.
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, a consumer reporter. Check out consumerman.com. We'll have more with Herb after this. And if you need to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here until 4 a.m., as we are every weekday morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. All of our regular Friday features are coming up after 2:30, starting with Vic's Picks and moving on through all the other ones. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to jump in with us. And coming up in just a little bit after the news, we're going to talk about movie trends that we're probably going to see in 2020. That's coming up. But right now we're talking with Herb Weisbaum. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Herb Weisbaum is a consumer reporter, and consumerman.com is his website, and he helps people out, and he writes about consumer issues, and he's always on the show once a month. Herb, welcome back, sir.
And it's the joy of my month. I love being with you, Nick.
Oh, man. And by the way, thank you for the lovely Christmas card, the holiday card.
Oh. You're very, very welcome. So.
I appreciate that. And we have a text here.
Guys, to buy me, I expect you guys to buy me Lou Malnati's pizza again when I come out.
You know, seriously, I told you this, Herb. I got a Lou Malnati's 900 feet from my front door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm threatening. I may come see you again in the spring as I come back from my convention in Washington, D.C.
There you go. 708 area code says, hi, Herb. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the listeners need to know this. You actually let me sleep in the, is it called the green room now or the world of color room?
It's the PPG Paints green room. That's where you slept. Very comfortable.
I sleep there, Nick, and I got a great view, and it's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Herb, here we had a text here. Hi, Herb. What do you think of Robinhood, the online low-cost investment vehicle? Thanks. You're a great guy.
You know, I will be honest, when I don't know something, I'll tell you, and that one I know absolutely nothing about.
Okay.
I just do not know that one, so sorry about that.
Okay, all right. Another story that you were talking about here is the downside of connected tech and smart devices in your home. Are they spying on you? And
yeah.
Herb, this is why I don't have any of those kind of things in my house. And I don't want to say the name of it because it'll... the name of the device, because it might you know, start up in somebody's house. We might wake people up. But there is one device that there are a few of them, but there's probably the one that most people have. And I remember hearing reports that it just started laughing in the middle of the night. Like suddenly you just hear, I don't need that in my life.
Well, have you seen the video that's on the news about the people who they have the cameras in their house and somebody starts talking to the kids? Hi there.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, it's terrifying. I saw that on. It's terrifying.
Terrifying. And that's not an isolated. It's been happening a lot. So I'm actually like you. I don't need my refrigerator to be on the internet and talk to my toaster. Honest to God, I really do not.
Yeah.
There's too much personal information that they might want to share.
Yeah.
I'm sitting I'm sitting talking to you in front of a computer that has a camera on it that I need to do some Skyping stuff and some lectures that I do.
Right.
It's got a cover over it blocking the camera, so if anybody were to hack the camera, they're not seeing me. It's when I want it. I got a smart TV that simply was a beautiful screen that I did not hook up to the internet because I did not want all the tracking that was going to be done by doing that. And I don't have a video doorbell, and I don't have either of those two things, that are the smart speakers, because I just don't, and I'm happy living my life. Now, I'm not a Luddite. I love a lot of technology. I don't like all the tracking and the spying and the kind of stuff that's going on with these devices because, and I put the onus straight on Congress, we don't have any laws that regulate these things. It's the Wild West. Europe, they have great laws. It says, it's your data. It just went into effect last year. It's your data. You control it, and you've got it. We've got to ask you if we can have it, and you have the right to just to look at it and delete it anytime you want. Ours is like, we'll give you some for free, and oh, by the way, we want all your stuff, and then we're going to sell it, market it, and make all this money off of your data. I'm not going with that program anymore. I've had it with that.
Yeah.
So basically, there's two things on this story. One is the fact that we're losing privacy, meaning that these devices, many of them are spying on us. They're collecting all this information, and they're sharing it with their company, and these companies are sharing it with other companies, and they're mixing it with huge databases. And I found out the other day that there are retail stores that are sharing information with Facebook, even if you didn't have anything to do, we went in person, so that Facebook can have all the data about what you shop and buy. I mean, it's really getting out of hand. It's just absolutely out of hand. So it's not just about the one video doorbell or the one smart speaker or the whatever. It's about all that stuff together that's being collected by all these companies and put into these absolutely huge databases. You know, think about the people with a smartwatch. That's collecting health data on you. What if that gets in the hands of your insurance company? Are you sure you really want to do that? You know, just all this kind of stuff, you know, that there have been lawsuits where people have tried to get information from either the web purchases or from these smart speakers on, like, did you buy a lot of alcohol? Are you an alcoholic? Did that lead to a car accident you might have had? I mean, if it's collected, somebody's going to use it. That is my motto. If it's collected, somebody's going to use it, and it's going to come back to bite you. So just keep that in mind. But that's the one thing on the story. The other thing on the story is how the hackers are breaking into these things. And that's what everybody's freaked out about right now, these cameras and these alarms. What you have to do, they're not being hacked in the traditional sense, meaning they haven't broken into the Ring computers or that kind of thing. What they've done is they've broken into individual people's doorbells, video doorbells. Who knows how they've done it? It could be that the people got a phishing email, and they were willing to respond. More than likely, it was because they never changed the default password, which is one of the clever ones, like admin password 123456, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what these devices come with. You have got to change them, because the bad guys, that's the first thing they try, and that's how they get in there. So if you got one of these for Christmas or Hanukkah, or have one of these cameras, these doorbells, whatever, Alexa, change the password. Make it your password. Make it something that some criminal couldn't possibly, use, and then use it against you and spy on you or do that kind of thing. I mean, it should be, and the industry should be responsible enough that it wouldn't let you set up the device without changing the default password. I mean, the technology's there. They could really do that. You know, you can't set up the account. Like some websites now, you can't just do a four-number password. You got to do 8 or 12. I mean, they just won't let you do that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't let you set these things up without changing the password. But they can, and they are. So you've got to take that on your own and make sure you change those passwords, because it could be inviting trouble. You have no idea what these people, I mean, they're talking to kids while you're in the other room.
The video I saw, you know, on a news story, I saw like a compilation of these creeps who were talking to kids in their room through those devices. And it was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, when we set up these smart devices, we race through it. I mean, the goal is get that smart TV hooked up as quickly as we can, get that smart speaker hooked up as quickly as we can. We want to start barking out commands or doing cool stuff. When you go through all those menu items, look at them. There are probably privacy settings or things you can do as you're setting this thing up that will protect you or decide how your information is shared or whatever.
Yeah.
The goal is not to get through it in 1 minute and get that TV on. The goal is to go through every menu, see what their options are, if you can stop the sharing or stop the collection or whatever, and set it up the careful, smart privacy way, and then go from there. I mean, I know it's not how we do things in this country, but that's really, really the smart thing to do.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's a pretty crazy story, and you've got it all covered. And again, people can go to consumerman.com And that first story that we talked about earlier, Herb, is going to be up in a few hours on your
Hopefully, sometime by you know, but you're ahead of me, but sometime by late Friday or absolutely Saturday, or if you sign up for the newsletter, consumerman.com, you will get that as the first article in the newsletter when it goes out over the weekend.
Right, and that's paying down the debt. That's a very timely article for this time of year.
And also strategies for saving, the number two thing. Most people in this country could not afford an emergency of $500 if it happened. They don't have enough savings to deal with that.
Man.
This is a way to start that program and get that rainy day fund built up.
All right, Herb, always a pleasure, and I will talk to you next month.
Thanks, Nick. All the best in the new year to you and
Tom. Same to you, buddy. Take care. Herb Weisbaum, everybody, consumer reporter and watchdog. He at consumerman.com is his website. Subscribe to his newsletter. It's great, and it's free. All right, we'll take a quick break. The news is coming up.